Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks. I hope you guys are having an awesome, phenomenal time. I tell you what, it is Friday. I love Fridays because so much is happening. Got up this morning to a nice little rain coming in over the harbor, and man, it's just gorgeous. You know, it's gorgeous to watch the sun come up. It's gorgeous when you watch the rain come in. It's beautiful. And now we're doing the radio show, and then tonight we're doing Aces Radio Live. Powerful stuff. Got a great newscast coming out today. You're going to love it. A lot of great information. Some new companies that I'm going to be sharing with folks that are entering into the direct marketing arena. And I tell you what, it's some powerful stuff. Just got it in from Inc. Magazine. I think you guys are going to love it. But today we're in Chapter 4 of Michael Ferenzi's book, Insider Business Tips from a Former Mob Boss. He's the host of A&E's Anatomy of the Mob. This is a book that you just cannot put down once you pick it up. Today in Chapter 4, use Solomon's Solution. King Solomon of the ancient Hebrews is a phenomenal philosopher. He's an awesome leader. Classified the smartest man that ever lived, the richest man that ever lived in today's dollars, not in history, but in today's dollars, he was already the richest man back then. Makes sense that you would follow somebody's advice like that. But let's look at what a mobster, somebody that grew up, would say. He said, when mob guys go to jail, they read Machiavelli's, but when the average Joe goes to jail, they read the Bible. I can attest to that. My son would attest to that. When you get a guy like Michael, who's been there both as a made man and somebody that wasn't in the life, they read both books. Michael says King Solomon may have been the original wise guy. He's playing on words, but I agree with him. See, too many times we get this myth that knowledge is power. And knowledge is not power. I'm going to tell you that right now. In organized crime, if you know some information, then people think you're smart and you can use it against them. In business, it happens that way. Matter of fact, some of the richest men that ever walked the face of the earth, men that helped change the face of America, would employ taxicab drivers, prostitutes, maids, bellmen, desk clerks at hotels. They would pay them and say, keep your ears open. Keep your eyes open. I want you to give me back information that I can use to build my empire. All that is common, but that's knowledge, and knowledge isn't the power, it's the wisdom. See, wisdom comes from taking that knowledge and putting it into practical use, learning from that and using it. That's something that Michael's not writing about. I'm telling it to you because I have studied King Solomon. King Solomon may have been the original wise guy, but he always went and took what knowledge he had, put it into practical use, and applied it to every situation. See, better would be to say wisdom is power, not knowledge. Michael writes this, if your ultimate goal is to achieve and maintain success, he says in business, I'm going to say in life, then you need to listen to Solomon's directions. His proverbs provide a solid framework of values within business and life strategies that should be implemented. He starts by providing in the very first chapter his own mission statement and purpose for attaining wisdom and discipline. See, knowledge doesn't bring discipline, but wisdom does. He wants to be able to understand words of insight for acquiring a discipline and a prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. Is that how you run your business, let alone your life? By doing what's right, what's just, and what's fair? Business people, just people in general, would be wise. Forget the spiritual or religious connotation. Just go, don't even buy the Bible. Just go buy the book of Proverbs, which is readily available at most bookstores. Study it inside and out. Listen to this. This is powerful. Contrary to popular belief, a prudent business manager does not often gamble and hope for a lucky outcome. You take a risk after carefully considering all available and relevant information. Sadly, most people in sales of any kind do not do this. I can turn my desk around. I can pick up a book called Strategic Thinking. Brainstorming systems, logic, techniques, goals, initiatives, tactics. I can pick up another book. Doing business, selling, negotiating, presenting. See what all these are? These are all manipulative type deals. That's not what running a business is. That's not what sales is about. Sales is about discipline. See, I could say instead of business people, I could say sales people would be smart to pay attention. Salesmen, sales ladies need to exercise wisdom in employing strategies that will affect their company's performance and overall operation. And then I could go on down here and I could say, contrary to popular belief, a prudent sales professional does not often gamble and hope for a lucky outcome. You take a risk after carefully considering all available and relevant information. See, that's what it's about. I could change it and say, contrary to popular belief, a prudent man does not often gamble and hope for a lucky outcome in a relationship. You take a risk after carefully considering all available and relevant information. Or I could say a woman. See, this proverb, these precepts and principles taught by King Solomon work in everything. Sadly, from the very tip of government, the Oval Office, all the way down to the most poor homeless person on the streets of America, everybody's looking for that magic formula. Everybody's trying to shortcut it. We cannot do that. Being right and just and fair in dealing with business partners and employees is not only smart, it's critical to your company's success. It's critical to your success. Being right, just, and fair in dealing with clients, with team members, all of that is what's right. You cannot shortchange this. Even in the mob, the La Cosa Nostra, they have unwritten rules of being just and right and fair to their own members. And if you're caught not doing that, then usually you're only caught once. And then people wonder where you're at, what happened to you. You have to deal with your customers, your wife, your children. Everything in life should be dealt this way. Otherwise, you could lose it all. So what's the difference between King Solomon's philosophy and Machiavelli's philosophy? Michael writes it this way. Solomon's writing have a strong and impact on me today, as did Machiavelli's philosophy when I was in the La Cosa Nostra. Back then, we do what we do within... This is profound. This is what he wrote. He says, we do what we do within the framework of our philosophies. That's powerful. I have a book that I refer to constantly called Unshakable Foundations. It takes Aristotle's first principles and puts them into play. And this lines up with exactly what those are. We do what we do within the framework of our philosophies. Let's take your worldview. If you have a conservative Christian worldview, I think that's a term I can use here, then you've got a very narrow scope on what's right and wrong. If you take a more liberal, progressive approach, a more politically correct approach, then you don't care what other people do, period. And you may change your outlook depending on the way society sees things. I have people close to me that live a life completely different than I do, although they were raised with conservative Christian values. I look at our lives and I see them parallel. And one night while we were out having a good time at a local establishment, not partying, just chilling together, one of them said, you know, we make our own choices in life. It's not up to what our parents do or say. We're the ones that are responsible. And I thought that's very profound, because Solomon says that. Machiavelli does it a little bit different. He says, pretend who you are no matter what. Pretend what people around you want you to be. Pretend that you're a virtuous person. But really what he was saying is, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Pretend to be friendly. Pretend that you're in love. Pretend that you're honest. Pretend that you're faithful. But always win at all costs. Solomon says it this way, dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. See, you got to do it right. There is no shortcutting it. It's interesting, because as we look through stuff, we see how governments, economies, societies sometimes run by the Machiavelli's philosophy. Machiavelli admitted that he was a political realist and found conventional standards of morality useless as practical advice. Instead, he wrote, it is necessary for a prince to learn how not to be good according to the circumstances. In other words, be dishonest when you have to be. Lie, cheat, steal, do whatever's necessary to gain an advantage and justify your actions according to the circumstances you're in. Wow. In other words, go out there, go to the altar, say I do, and screw around on your wife that afternoon with the bridesmaid. Just don't get caught. I mean, seriously. This is one of the things, I'm gonna rabbit trail for a second. This is one of the things that pissed me off with Christians. Excuse me. It's their egotistical, pompous attitudes. And if you're new to my show, you're probably saying, dude, I thought you were a Christian. Nah, but I do love Jesus and I follow him a lot, and I don't know what the term Christian means anymore. And here's why. You can sit in a lot of churches, and you'll hear them sitting up there at the pulpit condemning a gay lifestyle. You're going to go to hell in a handbasket. You're going to die. You're going to burn in hell. That's an abomination. Now, not necessarily would I debate that issue from a sin standpoint based on my Christian worldview. But here's where I get irritated. That same person will turn their back and condone the actions of one of their people, one of their deacons, one of their parishioners who's screwing around on his wife. See, what's the difference between a heterosexual having an affair outside the vows of his marriage or her marriage and two people of the same sex having an affair who aren't married? Is sin not sin to a certain degree? But see, when you and you say, Troy, what's that got to do with business? Not a doggone thing, but it does have something to do with Machiavelli's philosophy. His philosophy is, do it, just don't get caught. And if you're going to get caught, justify your actions for the means. We cannot do that in business or our personal life. Remember, the philosophy we believe is the philosophy, the framework in which we live. But King Solomon puts it this way. Honesty and integrity and hard work are the cornerstones of a successful business, marriage, relationship, life. It doesn't matter. See, that's the key right there. Integrity and hard work, honesty. Do you honest? I mean, look, let's just put this in reality. I mean, for all you new listeners, let me share a little bit with you. I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. My dad was a thumper in the union. I mean, he's a good guy, but I mean, he's union all the way. My mom truly grew up on the wrong side of the tracks in a dysfunctional family from the word go. We went from lower middle class to upper middle class, but we weren't born with silver spoons in our mouths. There's nothing in my life growing up that made me the poster child of success. Except I had hardworking parents who honestly believed if you put your sweat and your brow into it, you would be rewarded to some degree, and we were. I've seen almost every state in the union. I've seen some of the greatest places that you've seen in an encyclopedia. It's been wonderful. As I became an adult, my life didn't change. My first son was born out of wedlock. My first son was born in the middle of a divorce. It was crazy just in those years. I got married. Then I ended up separating from my wife. I worked with some individuals that ended up going to prison for white-collar crimes, including embezzlement and counterfeiting and all kinds of stuff. I've had sons in prison, sons out of prison, sons that are divorced twice before they're 21. I mean, the list could go on of, oh my gosh, you poor guy. It's not that. Here's what I'm saying. If I had lived by Machiavelli's philosophy, I would pretend that stuff was okay when it really wasn't. I would pretend that my marriage was great and I'd be screwing around. I would pretend my kids were saints and I wouldn't talk about their indiscretions and what we've learned from them. I would pretend that every one of my business dealings were open and honest, and they weren't. I learned with the best of them of how to manipulate the system in order to get what you want and use other people's money to do it and walk away with money in your pocket while they went into bankruptcy. But that's not the way you're supposed to do it. It's about other people. It's about being fair and honest. It's about being loyal. It's about making a commitment in the heart, not in the head. It's about saying, I'm going to live my life according to the highest values and principles possible. When I raised my hand and said, I will protect the Constitution and the flag of the United States at all costs, so help me God, Semper Fi. Those weren't just words. That was branded on my heart. And I learned what it meant to say, I will be faithful. I will serve others. And that's what Solomon writes. That's what this book is about when it comes to the business side of it. Listen to some of Solomon's stuff. Here's an example. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Do not love sleep, or you will grow poor. Stay awake, and you will have food to spare. There's nothing spiritual or righteous about that. That's just good down-home common sense. Ever rednecks learn this? This is what it's about. And if you think I'm wrong, listen to these stats. Bill Gates averages 2 vacation days a year. Canadian communication mogul Ted Rogers, now 74, is a notorious workaholic. Thomas Edison said genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. Henry Ford said nobody can think straight who does not work. Idleness warps the mind. Amazing, isn't it? Do you think that Michael here generated millions of dollars sleeping? Remember the story I told about the mobster that got shot in his pajamas at 11 o'clock in the morning? I am up every day between 5 and 6. I'm focused, I'm praying, I'm reading, I'm studying, I'm seeing what's out there. What do I need to know about? And I succeed. It's not about a flash in the pan, hey, look, I'm a millionaire today, but I pissed it all away tomorrow. It's about that slow tortoise in the hare race. It's not about how much you make, it's how much you keep. Listen to some more stuff that Solomon talks about. He who puts up security for another will surely suffer, but whoever refuses to strike a hand in a pledge is safe. Do not be a man who strikes hands in a pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed could be snatched out from underneath you. Michael tells a story. He doesn't quite get it right in this book. And I say that out of all due respect, because you probably have to study it and understand some of this and own stock in the companies and have an inside look. But in this case here, he says the CEOs of the big three North American automakers flew to Washington on their company's private jets to petition Congress for a multi-billion-dollar bailout and left in a harsh rebuke from Congress to come back when they had a plan. Actually, Ford had a plan. Ford wasn't asking for a handout. Actually, it was just the opposite. They didn't want a handout. They didn't want anybody to get any money. They just wanted to have a fair shake. If we win, we win. If we lose, we lose. Ford is the only automaker with a plan that did not include a bailout. Ford went on to pay down billions and billions in debt while GM and Chrysler took handouts. Ford's stock went up. Ford's productivity went up. The sales of Ford cars went up. I watched a $500 investment in Ford stock that I made for one of my granddaughters turn into $1,500 in the last 2 years. They had a plan. They acted on their plan. They sold underperforming assets. They paid off debt. They made better cars. Have a plan. And a plan doesn't include entitlements, handouts, poor me's. It means you roll up your dadgum sleeves and you go to work. There's no cotton picking system. There's no fancy magician. Matter of fact, Michael writes something here that I think is profound. I'm going to get to it in a second. But the first thing you have to understand is it's not about credit. It's not about a loan. It's not about being born on the right side of the track with a silver or gold spoon in your mouth. It's about having a plan. It's also about understanding what your philosophy is, and if it's wrong, you get it corrected. A lot of people that have failed so many times, or they've been around dull, negative, disillusioned crybabies so much that all they want to do is say, poor me, poor me, poor me. I grew up in a unionized family, and I hate the freaking unions with a passion, because what they started out to accomplish has gotten perverted and diluted, and they've become part of the problems. Now all of a sudden they think they're entitled to handouts. There's a reason we pay so much for a new house and so much for a new car and so much for new everything else. And I'll tell you what, I'm on a rabbit trail again. I get so cotton picking tired of hearing the doggone media talk about the greed of Wall Street, when there'd be no greed on Wall Street if Main Street wasn't as greedy. We want to be able to have our 2 weeks vacation, whether we deserve it or not. If our company needs to lay us off, we want to be able to earn all of our money, even if we got laid off. Matter of fact, some of us, if we get fired, we still want them to pay us. We don't want to have to work anymore. Well, that's wrong. And I don't care how politically incorrect it is, it's wrong. If you want something, you better work hard and smart for it. I watched my dad bust his butt literally in ways that you never would. Quite a few years growing up, I didn't even feel like I had a dad because he was gone in the daytime. Actually, he wasn't gone. He was asleep in the daytime, and he was gone at night. On the weekends, he was trying to get caught up on everything. Worked overtime all he could to have the extra money. Busted his dadgum butt. Maybe that's why I don't have a problem working. He's a smart old booger. He succeeded. He grew. His money went up. our lifestyle grew. It went up because of his hard work, because of mom's hard work. Man, you got to work hard. Something Michael says here, and I think it's great. I think everybody listening to this needs to understand it. And it goes, it just coincides with something that Richard Brook, one of my mentors and brainstorming partners, told me this week. I said, man, I'm bringing out this new training. It's going to be great. And he goes, you expecting to get rich off that? I said, no, man, not at all. I said, you know, training's a dime a dozen. And it's true, but listen to this. Michael says, I travel quite a bit, and I can tell you that the how-to books on business jam-pack the shelves of just about every airport bookstore in every major city in the country. I've read more than a handful, leafed through many others. My take? They all say pretty much the same thing, just in different ways. There's a plethora of 5 or 10 or maybe 20 steps in each of these texts that will guarantee your success in business and help you become a millionaire. Own a Mercedes or two and live in a mansion. Matter of fact, these books might as well have been written by the same author. It's up to you to figure out if any of the advice is worth the price tag. And you know what? He's absolutely right. 10 steps of this, 5 steps of this, this, that, yeah, but it's all the same crap. There's no guarantee. Listen to this. Yet in spite of all this advice, even the United States is on the verge of defaulting on its debt. Who the heck's minding the store? Apparently, not enough business people are visiting the airports or reading the books, or the author's guarantees of success are about as valuable as Bear Stearns stock. The reality is there are very few, if any, guarantees in business. All these books written by all these great people, some of them have gone on to be senators and congressmen, and yet they can't balance a budget. They can't run the government successfully. They can't go out there and make the government profitable without our taxes. And we just keep buying the books. It's a billion-dollar industry, how-to books. How to make me feel better, how to make love better, how to not hurt better, how to build a business, how to succeed, how to be a lazy man's ways to riches. 10 great steps. First one's buy my book, $29.95. Didn't going to work that way, guys. What can you do without a guarantee? Art Williams said it best, you can do all you can do, but all you can do is enough. But you've got to do it. You've got to pick yourself up off the floor. You've got to bust your butt. You've got to realize it's a 3 to 5 year plan. Everything in life is a 3 to 5 year plan. My marriage sucked the first 5 years. I'll tell you that right now. Oh, the romance was awesome while we were courting. But then we got married. And now you're taking two lives and putting them together. What do you think business is about? It's the same thing. You're taking all these lives and trying to put them together. But if you work hard at it, you start to become a team. In the Marine Corps, it took me 12 weeks to do this. In my marriage, it took me about 5 years. In business, you can do it probably in 12 to 18 months if you get the right team and surround yourself with the right people. You're going to go through a lot of headaches in the process, but if you stick with it, I guarantee you in 5 to 10 years, you will have some of the things that you've dreamed of, and you'll make it. In the early years, you're going to be overworked and underpaid so that you can be overpaid and underworked in years to come. But you've got to bust your butt to make it happen. The takeaway message for today, Machiavelli says that business operates as if anything goes as long as you achieve your goals. Solomon says, honesty, integrity, and hard work are the cornerstones of a successful business model. Which philosophy do you want your business to operate under? And the second takeaway, there's no one secret that explains the success of a wealthy person's business. But successful business works within a framework. Solomon offers a solid structure and some brilliant principles upon which you can work to build your company's success. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Don't forget this afternoon, Jim Gilhouse and myself on Aces Radio Live. Have a fantastic week. Bye now.